The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle Live in studio, waiting to take your calls on anything you'd like to talk about. You know, it affects your health. You've tried, you've applied, you've done all kinds of things that you thought would make a difference, and you still got the same problem. Well, here's your opportunity. Call 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. We have a show for you today. We have some things we're going to discuss, but we want to take your questions on anything. You can always tie things in one way or the other, and particularly with this presentation, it's a very interesting look at health. Have you ever felt like, you know, some parts of the year, some types of the week, parts of the day are better than others for you? Like you get your energy, you move forward, nothing can go wrong. Do you ever feel like you can heal under certain conditions, but you can't heal under others? Well, there's this thing called biorhythms or circadian rhythms, and it's how the body kind of adapts to all kinds of energetic platforms around it. But you know what? I got an expert in studio with me, somebody that really gets it, really understands it, and somebody that you all know very, very well, and is someone who has a bank full of knowledge, Dr. Stephanie Pina. Welcome. After that introduction.
And apparently I don't know what time it is, but well, my clock must be off.
I was going to say, your biorhythms are completely gone today.
They are.
No, but, you know, I got
to Wednesday to figure them back out.
That's right. This Wednesday night, you're going to do the program on biorhythms and circadian clock and how it affects our health. You know, I got off the plane today. I'm the one that should be, you know, kind of misstepping and tired, and, you know, my mouth shouldn't be engaged with my brain and so forth. You have no excuses, so you got to carry the show for me. Never mind. 888-630-9625. That's how you find us here. Seriously, let's get into the meat of this, because this is really a fun topic, but it's an important topic. It's one that is very applicable to so many different conditions, and it's one that we sense intuitively, but it's one that we ignore expressively. And, you know, people know that they do better in certain situations, and we have night and day, we have balances all over the place. But let's start with the basic question. What is a circadian clock or circadian rhythm? What does that really mean?
So a circadian basically breaks down to about one day. And so that can be about 24 hours, even though we go a little bit beyond that. And what it is this rhythm, something that's a pattern that keeps repeating itself throughout the day. And it has to do with our metabolic functioning, our physiological functioning, our mental, emotional states, everything from what we eat, sleep, and even how our hormones are regulated. And basically, it's innate. It's always been with us. It's part of our survival. So in order to function more freely, to function well, we have to keep this cycle going. And there are different steps and processes that are in place that help us kind of continue with this. So in order to function, we rely on these cycles and the outside environmental cues like light, temperature, the same way that animals did, the same way that plants did, in order to adapt to their environment in order to survive as well, too.
So that's why we sleep at night and we're waked in the day. We try to rest and repair at nighttime. And that has to do with also the nervous system, where, you know, we talk about in science the automatic and it broken down in the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous systems. Sympathetic is one that's fight, flight, we'll kill the tiger. Parasympathetic is that we heal, we repair, and so forth. And nighttime is that repair cycle. And so night and day and so forth, you know, darkness and lightness and so forth. So how does the body respond? Let's take that simple piece first, and then we're going to expand it, obviously, into a lot of different platforms. But how does the body respond to that that sleep repair cycle relative to this circadian pattern that we're talking about?
Well, obviously, we're getting clues. If you're breaking out as simple as possible as far as light and day, we're getting outside clues, environment. So really, that's seeing sunlight. That's seeing different types of light that are brought in, obviously, by the eyes. They go to what they call the SCN, this supercosmic nucleus. It's not one you want to pronounce often.
No, I like SCN a whole lot better, yes.
And it's in the hypothalamus, which is that basic and initial part of the brain. And that information is taken in, and then it's sent out information to other smaller clocks throughout the body. There's over 100 physiological clocks that are kind of on these cycles, and it tells us how to function. So if you look at the most basic way and saying, when do we wake up and when do we go to sleep, we notice that if we want to try to sleep in on days that we're not used to sleeping in on, there's something that innately wakes us up. We feel like we've been sleeping a lot longer, but all of a sudden we're going, it's 5 o'clock in the morning, I wanted to sleep until noon. You can't do it. Your body's going to wake you up. Why? Also because the sunlight's coming up. Perfect example of this is if anyone's ever gone camping. This is the most cool example of this is if you ever go camping, you're in the woods, you've got nothing around you except for probably the people you're with, you're cooking your own food, and the sun starts to go down. And you're just sitting around relaxing. You don't have the computers and the outside environment and work and everything. You're just in the middle of the woods. Sun goes down. Innately, you're going to end up trying to fall asleep a little bit earlier. So you're going to go to bed much earlier than you would normally if you were at home in front of a TV or even reading a book. Same thing happens when you wake up in the morning. You end up rising a lot quicker. Why? It's because your body is relying more on that outside environment to give it the signals, the SARS, when you go to sleep and when you wake up. So people tend to be more rested, relaxed, and enjoy nature more by simply, one, being out there, but then also the fact that they don't have all these external clues that are messing up their own circadian rhythms. And you see that as far as an issue with people who do shift work, as far as jet lag. Your time zones have now changed and are different as far as when you're able to sleep and wake. So that's going to throw up your other biological changes.
But, you know, I've had patients over the years that have been on nighttime shift forever. They work from 11 to 7. And their body energetically has been accustomed to that. But the truth of it is that they do not adapt as well. You know, they say, well, I'm fine. No, you're not. The normal sleep cycle is at nighttime, and you don't repair as deeply and as quickly and as directly as you should if you were sleeping at nighttime and working during the day. We weren't designed to do that.
Right. And my own family, my dad was a night shift worker, and now that he's retired, he's probably listening to right now. But now that he's retired, what's interesting is we'll see the same, you know, when he would take a nap before he would go to work at 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, it still seems more natural for him to do that because his whole cycle has changed. And so he might wake up and then go to bed at 1 or 2 o'clock because that's what his cycle says is new norm, even though it's been years since he's been on that 9 to 6 shift.
Yeah, it's really interesting when if you let your body do what it's supposed to do naturally, you get into a why am I doing that type of thing? You know, you're out on vacation, and it usually takes me like 2-3 days before my whole body will shift and adapt to wherever it is that I'm at. And here's the thing: this is the next question: is the circadian clock different in the southern hemisphere as it is in the northern hemisphere? Is it different in Europe than it is here?
It's a good question.
Gotcha.
I would think it depends on where you are, you know, because your body's going to adapt to that. Just like when you were saying, like, if you fly to Europe from here, you can adjust and it's going to take time. And if you're living there currently, your biological clock's going to adjust to their time clock. But if you're going back and forth, that's where you're going to see more issues and changes over time as well.
Well, specifically, that's what jet lag is all about.
Right.
It's because that interruption of that electrical magnetic flow that we're trying to then reestablish our sleep-awake cycle. And sometimes we're staying awake too long, and it takes several days. There's a technique that many airline pilots years gone by developed that allows them to adapt to the different shifts in time zones and also in environmental areas, South and North America. It's called the Vivaxis technique. And it's a kind of really simple technique. They'll stand wherever they are. They'll figure out how to stand in direction of where they were born. And they breathe in and from their nose and out through the mouth very, very, very slowly. And they do quarter turns. If they're in the northern hemisphere, they're going to go clockwise. If they're in the southern hemisphere, they're going to go counterclockwise because that's the spin of the earth. So if they do that like 3, 4, 5 times, they find that they can reset that clock faster. And don't ask me where I came up with that, but that was something that I learned years and years ago and had a couple of patients at Pilots, and they said, yeah, do you know about this? It's based on physics. So I had to look it up, and they were right. So there is that. That's why I asked you the question. I know it wasn't fair. 888-630-9625. My guest in studio, Dr. Stephanie Apinas. She's going to be talking to you about how the rhythms, your biological rhythms, your circadian clock, the things that make you do what you do at certain times of the day, how they can be used to optimize your health and repair. Have you ever think about that? You do certain things at certain times thinking that they're going to help you, but they don't. And we end up in a problem situation. But this Wednesday evening at the Results Center for Healing, 7 p.m. sharp, love to have you as our guest. All you need to do is go online, go to RoselleCare.com. That's RoselleCare.com, RoselleCare.com, and register for this class. I think you're going to be very, very amazed of how your body actually works and how you establish certain things. Let's get a little deeper into this. Let's talk about different systems. You have a patient that comes up, they're tired all the time, they're fatigued, they're burned out, and in Western medicine or even in integrative medicine, we say, well, this person has a weakened fight-flight system, their adrenal system. And we know that that has to happen at certain, that those hormones have to be balanced at certain times of the day. How does that relate to the circadian rhythm? And is it, you know, when you see an aberrant test, is it always, if it doesn't fit the standard, is it always bad?
Yes and no. well, when we talk a lot about this, we talk about cortisol, and when we look at cortisol levels, which we do a lot in different integrative practices, we want to look at it over a longer period of time. So we do multiple testings throughout the day. And why is that? Just because of the cycle, it's going to be higher and lower during certain times of the day. So we're expecting our body's fight-flight system and ability to wake up and function is going to be higher going into the morning. And then slowly throughout the day, and it's not a perfect curve, but slowly throughout the day, it starts to decrease so that by the time our cortisol is at its least, we're starting to get ready to go to bed. And what's interesting is the way that the body has smartly done it is that there are these different feedback loops within the system that kind of bounce off of each other. When one hormone gets released to stimulate the system, the other hormone that would help it relax is usually going to be lower. So cortisol and something like melatonin that we talk a lot about for sleep are basically balancing each other. A lot of times we talk about melatonin and serotonin as well, balancing each other for different things like mood effects as well too. But we see this in multiple different cycles. The Chinese medicine clock comes up. There's an Ayurvedic clock. Like we mentioned before, plants have a system where they know exactly when to open up their leaves and when to face the sun to adjust to getting the most sunlight so they can be most productive and active. So that cortisol system that we have in the body that basically tells us to get up and go is going to fluctuate throughout the day. And when it doesn't fluctuate properly, or we start to stay up later than we need to and we go to bed later and then we can't feel we feel fatigued in the morning, that whole shift starts to change where it can basically turn around or completely flatline. So now there isn't as much of a response to respond to, and the body starts to kind of go, well, there's no energy boost and there's nothing that's going to keep me up or keep me going.
So here's a question. You know, we're our rhythmic patterns of life. We're born, we live, we die. Okay? No, life's terminal. And we want to keep that centerpiece as long as we possibly can. And we know that certain things, habits, if you will, environmental exposures will disrupt that rhythm, that cycle, that start, move, done, right? So here's the question. Is that rhythm, that circadian clock that we're talking about, can it be enhanced in a way that if we support the energetic platform, we can increase that life cycle?
Yes.
Good question. Good answer. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about that because the truth of it is that you can enhance the telomere length. And that's what we talk about in science relative to what keeps you alive. But this is a fascinating topic. We'll get more into it. Dr. Stephanie Pina is my guest, your host this Wednesday evening. We're going to talk about the circadian cycle or the biorhythms of your body. Don't go away. A lot more fascinating information coming up. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle live in studio, 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. We're talking about cycles of your health, cycles of your life, cycles of healing, and it's called your circadian clock, your circadian rhythm. In studio, none other than Dr. Stephanie Pina. Those of you who know her know she's an amazing fountain of information, and coming up with something like this and understanding how often when you're treated, you have to be treated in a certain way, certain fashion. You have to do things in a certain manner. You have to take certain nutrients in a certain way. You have to have certain sun exposure. These are all about this subject, the circadian pathways that we're talking about. You know, my circadian clock was thrown off a little bit today simply because I was up 4:45, went to the airport, grabbed the plane, came up here, and, you know, in time to do the radio show. So that whole electrical field of exposure, the incoming from the plane, the incoming from, you know, flying at 30,000 feet and so forth, all of that has an effect on my electrical field and how my brain works and how my body feels and, you know, that fatigue feeling sometimes that you get, and it has to do with a lot. So here's a question. We're going to get into the meat. So this is going to be a fascinating program this Wednesday night. I'm going to sit around and listen to you because this is something that gets my attention very, very quickly. A lot of people worry about, you know, putting on weight, and they say there's, you know, I've done everything I can possibly do, and, you know, I can't seem to do it. I've done the dietary patterns, but no matter what happens, once I reestablish my foundation, I can't keep the weight off, or I can't keep the weight on. You know, some people need to put on muscle mass, and they can't do it. Is there an element to this circadian clock that supports those people making those statements? They've done everything the right way, but it's not working.
There can be, and there's a couple different ways of looking at it. One, I'm going to bring up that Chinese medicine clock again, and what's interesting is as we're waking throughout the day, there are multiple organ systems that run every 2 hours that focus specifically on bringing in and digesting food and the process of those food, which is obviously very, very important to not only weight gain, but weight issues in general and processing so that we have all the nutrients that we need to help as well as heal. And throughout that time, we do know that our own organ systems and our own hormones are basically telling us when to eat and when not to eat. And obviously during nighttime, as you go closer to nighttime, we talk a lot about this isn't the time to be binge eating and eating a lot of heavy stuff, that you're eating earlier, that you're hydrating, and then you're having a fasting time throughout the day. So the body has a chance to basically break that down at night to help detoxify and to also help to rest and digest. And so that's the time that's a healing process. It's not the time for growth and development versus the rest of the time when during the day we're more active and we need to basically stimulate that system and stimulate the metabolism that's going to help with weight gain and weight loss. So there are a number of times throughout the day that make more sense to eat, and those are different times throughout the day versus trying to wait till the last minute and just eat, say, when we have the sensation that we're hungry or when we have the sensation like, I haven't eaten, I better get some food in, and it's 9 p.m. at night because this is when I'm done with work. So whether we're trying to lose weight or gain weight, that certainly can play into that, and the hormones are going to shift and follow what we decide to do mentally.
You know, there's an interesting emotional, psychological phenomena that we see here in the Washington metropolitan area all the time. It's called road rage. You know, and it's not one that necessarily results, thank God, in somebody getting hurt or killed, but people with, and I say the Italian salute, you know, as people are flying around the corner and they get angry and somebody goes in front of them and whatever. But it has a lot to do with what we're talking about. It has a lot to do with that deprivation of cycle, that eating at the wrong times, even sometimes eating things that you should be eating, but you're fueling your body inappropriately at the wrong time, or you're feeling too much when the energetics are not supportive of digestion. You just brought up, process of eating, and years ago it was called natural hygiene eating, and they said, you know, you don't eat a lot of heavy stuff in the morning, which flies in the face of the Gregorian society where people had to have a big meal because they had to go out and work hard all day long. They had to have that big meal in the morning, where in the morning in acupuncture you have the energy peaks of large intestine and so forth. They're digestive functions that start taking place, the stomach and the like. So those organs are the highest. They are the ones that are going to need to be clear and clean and, you know, eliminating and so forth. And we don't respect that and we go against that flow. So subsequently what happens is that, you know, we see the body break down. The other piece is that when we disrupt any kind of normal cycle, particularly wintertime, springtime, right now, this time of the year is the best time of the year, and I'm going to ask you the why behind that, for people to detoxify. Because there's a cycle in the spring that says that's when the body should be renewed and cleansed and so forth. Do you agree with that, or is there a different time?
I agree, and what I think is really funny is, especially if you're not in the Northern Virginia area, but our weather temperature-wise are throwing people off, and you can physically feel it because yesterday we had snow in the afternoon, which is still very much winter, right? We're in February. Tuesday's going to be 72 degrees, so it's much more like late spring. So right now we don't even know what cycle it is to us, so you're seeing a lot more like issues like springtime allergies pop up now in February. But definitely the same thing goes as you're going into spring. That's the best time to renew growth in your liver is during that time in Chinese medicine cycle. So that's the time to really help shed out all the stuff that we've been holding on to during the winter.
So we're going to talk a little bit about that liver when we come back after the news. Dr. Stephanie Pina, my guest in studio, your host this Wednesday evening at the Result Center for Healing, talking about circadian rhythms. We'll be right back.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozell here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live in studio, 888-630-9625. That's how you find us right now, right here, 888-630-9625. And when you find us otherwise, go to RozellCare.com. And by the way, that's how you register for Dr. Pina's presentation. Dr. Stephanie Pina, my guest, in studio today, your host this Wednesday evening. She's going to be talking about circadian rhythms, circadian cycles, and how they affect your health. Everything from your heart to how your body heals, you know, headaches, indigestion, you know, anxiety levels, depression, blood pressure problems that don't seem to modify. And sometimes these problems are worse at certain times of the year. Come find out why and what you can do about them, how you can help yourself, because you know, our challenge in the office is to get people to do things that they need to do and get them to understand why. This is one of the biggest whys. If you really understand, you know, the process behind, all of a sudden you say, ah, I got it. I understand it. Maybe that motivation. But more importantly, you're sitting here with a doctor of naturopathic medicine who really knows her stuff and knows it inside out and backwards. What an opportunity that you have to learn from one of the best. I'm going to ask you a couple other questions that has to do, and people don't really get it, and things that can disrupt the environment. Let's talk about something that has been on television for a long time, and as far as a commercial, and they talk about 24/7 blindness situation. That obviously has a lot to do with what we're talking about. Can that be fixed, altered? Can that be supported in these patients who can't see?
It's a good question as well. And what's interesting is I don't remember until, even though that condition has obviously been around, it's kind of funny you haven't heard about it more recently until there was obviously a medication to help us out with that.
Of course.
But it's been around a while. And yeah, if you can't perceive what's going on with light, it does make your sleep cycle a little bit more difficult to function. This is a very real problem. And then lack of sleep, people can't heal, people can't rest, moods are going to be different. There have been things that they've done. You can utilize some of the same techniques you would use with seasonal disorders, where essentially there's limited light availability. So things like using lights, looking at vitamin D levels, which is what we obviously get with lights as well too. And then also looking at how do you change that person's system so it can affect them so they can be on more of a regular cycle and they're able to keep that.
You know, it's very interesting because we all have different reactions to our environment. We all have reactions to seasons. We have reactions to night and day and so forth. But we ignore it. You know, people who are stuck in, for example, they're in an office where they never see sunlight. You know, I walk into the studio and there's lights all around us and there's a lot of ambient lights. There's a lot of, you know, flickering and so forth. But they don't see the sunlight. This is a closed room. This is a solid room. There's not a lot of incoming. And there's going to be effect on people who work in these environments, in businesses and factories and so forth. They never see the outside. They go to work in the morning and it's dark. They work all day long. They never see the sunshine. They never get near a window. They have a lunch break in a cafeteria where there's no sunlight. And then they go home at nighttime and it's dark. What do you see? What happens with that? And more importantly, what do you do to shift that and change that?
Well, one of the things you can do is try to get out when you get a chance to and actually just spend that time in the sunlight as much as you can. So taking yourself out of that environment, and that sometimes can be easier said than done, but that might even be something that you do over lunch break where you put everything down, go outside and walk and try to get at least 15 minutes of just natural sunlight. And then on the times when you're not in there, if there is break times, trying to get outside, experience some fresh air as well too, because a lot of times in these kind of closed in rooms too, the air quality is not going to be as good. Depending on how old those buildings are too, you might have other environmental exposures, but trying to get the natural sources that are outside to kind of help relieve the system. I experienced that a little bit because unfortunately as nice and relaxing as our acupuncture side of the suite is it doesn't have any windows. So when I go out for lunch, I feel a lot better when all of a sudden I get that sunlight. But my adrenals also kind of, I have a hard time adjusting to that sunlight right away because one, it's been a darker environment. So a lot of the times what I try to do is stay hydrated during the day. So at least you're getting some movement within the system and your body can help to address some of the, basically some of the stagnation that's happening during that time as well.
Let's go to that 24/7 sleep disorder that I brought up a little bit, because these are people, you know, the drug companies are trying to make a big deal out of it. These people say they can't sleep. Part of it is true. You know, they can't sleep, but they also get locked up in their own life cycle too, where they start ignoring time frames and the like. But here's the piece that I'm going to throw up on the table and, you know, for debate, for conversation, is that the pineal gland is stimulated regardless if the eyes are open or if the eyes are closed. That the pineal still receives that incoming information that there's sunlight there. So if the 24/7 person goes outside in a very predictable pattern and they go to bed in a very predictable pattern and they still have that nighttime, daytime look, my experience has been that they don't suffer the consequences that they would otherwise. True or untrue, your feelings on that?
True. And there's actually been a couple of different studies, one with people and one with plants. So one of the earliest researchers that was pretty early on, I think in the 60s, he put himself in a dark cave, basically, and tried to take away all those external influences. So basically, he's recreating the condition that we're talking about and tried to figure out. And what he noticed over time is at first, his body started to increase the size of day. And so he was basically on like a 28 or 29 hour clock. And then all of a sudden, it started to shift and it actually went back to a 24 hour clock as long as he kept those things that he was doing on a particular base and pattern. The same thing goes with plants, as they've taken a plant that normally would open its leaves up during the day when it receives the sunlight. They put it into a closed area where it doesn't get any light, and eventually over time it would still open up its leaves even though there's no sunlight patterns as well too, because it's used to that 24-hour clock as well. So we see this with innately built into the system. So now it's a matter of what are we doing that's affecting that. Are we staying up? Are we not having our regular patterns the way we should do it, or eating at different times or working at different times? One of the amazing things that on a TED talk, they were talking about circadian rhythms that I was listening to this morning, and they were talking about an experiment there they might do in Australia where they shift back the time that kids go to school so that they actually start later on in the morning and go later into the evening when we're more productive. So they were, instead of starting school at 7 a.m., they were going to start at 9:30 so that people have time, kids and teachers have time to get up, to eat properly, to get all these circadian systems going so that they're more active and more mentally clear, go to class, and then finish when their bodies are ready to rest later on. And that doesn't work with our normal work environment because things ends at 3 and then we're supposed to be home at 5 and then, you know, there's practices. And so it's interesting because in order to shift that whole environment, you'd have to shift everything else around it. But they're looking at these studies because it makes sense, and I have to laugh when we have 2-hour delays in school and all of a sudden things get more productively done if you ask some of the teachers, because the kids had that extra time and they're coming in about that same time too.
Well, you know, the thing that is with education, you know, my son is involved with a company called K-12. So here's a homeschooling curriculum company over pretty many years, and now they do charter schools and online learning systems and so forth. And they have the results that, because they show that children that are singularly focused, that can get up and start, you know, they have a absolute, here's your schedule, this is what you're going to do, but they can start whenever they want to start, they start later and so forth, and then they stay with it, that they can get much more done in a shorter period of time and cover all kinds of very in-depth information where, you know, they finished it in months, where it takes a full academic year for some, and they're saying it's very productive because they see the scores coming back in. These kids that are doing this online and with support system, they have to have these small group learning, you know, with sciences and so forth, are scoring at a much higher level. The good thing about public education is the socialization. The good thing about public education done properly, it teaches a student how to think through a process and have interchange and debate. So you have the balancing act between the two, but this supports exactly what you were saying.
Mm-hmm. Now, the big question is that does that only need to apply to students in school? Should that apply to adults who are in working environments as well, too? And I know part of when our circadian rhythm and especially our cortisol starts to increase, we tend to be more, all of a sudden we find ourselves more productive at night. So I'm going to stay up longer and get this thing done. And then all of a sudden you're going to bed at 1-3 o'clock instead of that normal like 9:30-10 when you should be kind of winding down. Well, we talked about the liver during that time, and the liver in Chinese medicine, its time period is 1-3. So it's supposed to be doing metabolic processes where we detox, we repair, and now we're pushing through it. And the emotional part of the liver that we have to take into consideration is the liver's like the general. It says, you want to conquer the world? I'm going to help you conquer the world. You want to do this project and we have to get it done? I'm going to help you get it done. So our body is basically telling us, okay, if you're going to get this done, but we're going to talk about the consequences later on. And that over time is what starts wearing us down, because now our melatonin levels are off. Our cortisol levels are off. Everything turns off. Our blood sugar patterns become off as well, too. I mean, we have the commercial where you speak about doing the protein before bedtime. Correct. To get the blood sugar levels. Well, about that 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock, we have a normal spike in blood pressure. So if we're sleeping through that, or not getting enough food in at the right time, and our blood sugars drop too much, our own cortisol levels are waking us going, oh my God, we haven't eaten. We have to wake up now. And that's can be some of the reasons why people wake up in the middle of the night going, oh, I don't know why I can't go back to sleep, but
That's the number one reason people wake up at night, is because their cortisol spikes.
Right.
And the number one reason that it spikes is because of that drop in blood sugar. So blood sugar goes down, cortisol goes up, yep, you're awake. The other piece is that when you go to sleep at night and you take your problems with you and you don't learn how to decompress and de-stress, that also is going to spike that cortisol at a certain point, and also get into place. If you're holding any anger, if you're holding any irritation, you get close to that, you know, 1-3 o'clock cycle where the liver is engaged, and you're waking up right in the middle of that. And sometimes it has nothing to do with food, but it has to do with that embedded anger that you're just chewing on and you're not willing to get rid of, or you don't do the things, you don't have the skill sets, you know, to handle. You just keep dealing with it. But those are all the things that, you know, that we see with patients on a day-to-day basis.
And the liver also, I tell my patients too, the liver is not only this physiological detoxifier, right? It's supposed to help balance things, but it's the emotional detoxifier. How do we deal with everything that we come into? How do we respond to it? So it doesn't mean that there's a liver issue like hepatitis or a backup of cholesterol and stuff, but there's liver issues that we have to deal with mentally, physically, emotionally that happen during that time as we try to, and we see this when people dream. A lot of stuff they see during the day or things that they're doing, it'll come back up in their dreams, and they can either recreate it or they find a different solution or it bothers them some more. So I had a joke going back to the rush hour here in the DMV area is that, because it starts here about 3 to 5, so it's a little bit earlier than that, like 5 o'clock here. But 3 to 5 is bladder time in Chinese, on the Chinese medicine clock, and then 5 to 7 is the kidneys, which we often refer to as the adrenals. So I really think all the road rage is really because everyone has to go to the
good bathroom.
So.
You know, did you ever think about a permanent, never mind, I was going to make a suggestion here, but it's probably not appropriate. My guest in studio, your host this Wednesday evening at the Results Center for Healing, 7 p.m. sharp, Dr. Stephanie Pina. We're going to be talking about, you know, how to handle your bladder and road rage, but more importantly, how the cycles of life are affecting your health and what you're doing that interrupts them and doesn't support the healing process. That's an important piece more than anything else. How can you fix something? You know, wouldn't it be great to be guided by somebody who really gets it, who really understands that and can put you into well, this is the lady to do it. Give us a call, 703-698-7117 at the Results Center for Healing, and register. The easy way to register is just go online right now, or, you know, immediately after the show, go to rosellecare.com. That's rosellecare.com, rosellecare.com, and go about halfway down the page and you're going to see her program. It says register here. Click the button and then we will call to confirm, because as you know, and you've been to our clinic, we can only support so many people per topic. So let us reserve your seat for you. We're talking about a very interesting topic, one that continues to grab my interest over many years of practice, and how the body works in these different cycles and why they work that way. You know, and you're absolutely right when it comes to that fight flight, that adrenal system, and, you know, people getting irritated at certain times. There's that whole pattern that you know, from Eastern medicine and from other parts of the world, from Ayurveda, they get it. They understand those things, and they structure their lives around those periods of time so they can not only diffuse, but they can heal properly.
Right. They're able to incorporate that into their normal lifestyle so that they can function to the best and optimal way. And so at the times when they see that it's best to eat and digest, that's when they do that. They don't try to cross over. So our normal lifestyle of get up and go to work and eat when we can and come back and sleep as much as we are, sleep when we can, and thinking we're functioning is going to catch up with us. And we see that. I mean, the 2 weeks that I think we see the most bizarre changes, I'll say, because it's across the board. It can be sleep patterns. It can be emotional patterns. It can be anything. Our daylight savings and when we switched the time periods. And so when I was living in Arizona, we didn't have daylight savings. We never changed. So you didn't see these 2 weeks throughout the year that all of a sudden threw everybody off and no one could figure out what it was. But that 1 hour, it wasn't they crossed 15 time zones. It was 1 hour. They got up earlier and they got up later. That made a big difference for about a week, and it took their body that long to reintroduce when the light and the dark cycles were, when their eating patterns were, and it made a huge difference. But we see this here all the time, and I'm sure in other parts of the country too, where they still change, which is most of the country. You know, people are always, that week they come in and they say, I wish we didn't have this. Like, why do we have this? Like, it's not as productive. Well, that agrarian society that we used to have where we had to get up and use that sunlight to farm as much as we could, it made sense then, but doesn't make sense now. That's another question, but.
It is another question. You know, and it's the thing. We've changed. We've evolved. We've become very different in our societal obligations and demands. And, you know, we fail to adapt our own lives. There's really no reason, you know, to have any shift in the clock anymore. You know, find the one that's the most optimal, maintain that, let the body adapt to it. And I think we'd see a whole lot less irritation as we're going into the spring and the fall times. We're coming up to that time of the show where we have to pay attention to those who bring you Dr. Tom Rozelle live, as we do all the time, every time, same place, same station. So don't go away. We're not done yet. We got a whole lot for you. My guest in the studio, Dr. Stephanie Pina. We'll be right back.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle live. Indeed, we've been in studio waiting to take your information, your calls, giving you stuff that you've never heard before. And what better way to start it out than to have Dr. Stephanie Pina in here with me today, as, you know, because anytime Dr. Stephanie is with me, we're talking about things that other people don't touch upon. It's the idea of the total integration of our lives around energetic platforms, over chemistries, over structure, over neurology. And we set those things into compartments sometimes, even in the natural world, Dr. Pina. We only look at them piecemeal. And here's a situation with energetics, with energetic flows, seasonal flows, what we call the circadian cycle of life or the biorhythms of life. And it affects everything from our emotions to the way that we, you know, that we have disease processes or don't have disease processes. And you can take it through. You have people who, you know, if you study people across the board in today's society that don't sleep well, you're going to either see dietary indiscretions because of, you know, a hypoglycemic pattern. You're going to see people that are on their iPads all the time, you know, an hour before they go to bed, so their brain's being overstimulated. They're watching the talking heads on television. They go to bed angry, so we'll go back to that liver cycle. All of those things make a huge difference and disrupt the body, correct?
Yes. And it's not something new. You know, this has been going on for centuries. This has been going on, you know, when we talk about women's medicine and we looked at how does a menstrual cycle and the moon cycle go hand in hand. This is our interaction with our environment around us and how does it affect it, no matter what it is. And then how does our internal clocks try to adjust and adapt for us? Sometimes that adaption is good. Sometimes that adaption is not so good. But, and what happens when that adaption is not so good, we think that's the new normal. perfect example with sleep cycles. When we think we can get away with only 3 hours of sleep, we get used to it. And so that's what our body thinks. So when we try to change it back, it doesn't want to do that. So there's a lot that goes on with understanding circadian rhythms, because all the different chemicals of the body, all the different hormones, all the light clues from the outside and inside are all kind of playing into what our organ systems do, how do we function, how do we move forward, how do we live productive lives as well, too.
You know, it's really interesting. You talked about menstrual cycles and how they affect each other and how they're affected by a time and clock and environment. And the reproductive cycles are the same way. There is a time where people are more procreative, if you will, than at other times of the year. And it's based on that natural rhythm, that natural reception, if you will, when things are more easily impregnated, if you will. You put a group of women in a company, in a household, and pretty soon they all regulate within a short period of time of having their cycles. Where they were separate before, you put them together, now they're within a week of each other. It's one of the most uncanny things that I've ever seen, having been in practice for so many years, and most of my employees are female. And that's not any way a chauvinistic statement. It's an observation of fact. It just, that's the way it happens. And guys get the same way. Their energy cycles will go up and down based on their surroundings. Those are normal biorhythms. Those are normal circadian clocks. And it's the more that we understand the energetic platforms and how everything are tied together, the more we get the idea that this is not by accident. We've got about a minute. What are you going to cover this week?
Well, all that we talked about today.
Great. I'm going to do that.
And then some. You know, we want to talk about how to understand this cycle, and not only just when does what hormone port come up when and what the effects are on the body, but how does that affect our healing? Because really that's what if we're all coming in and we have issues, how does that affect our healing? And healing in itself has its own cycle. I mean, we see this with a small cut or bruise, but we see this with acute and chronic conditions as well, too. So how do we take the most advantage out of knowing stuff about the circadian cycle, knowing our biorhythms, and how do we embrace what our body is naturally telling us to do to help our healing process and to help us on an everyday basis?
It's going to be a fascinating class. It really is. It's one that you really don't want to miss. Get online, go to rozellecare.com and register today. Make it happen. You're going to have a fun night. This is a tremendously interesting topic, but it's also going to show you what you can do to take control of your own health and the things that you can make a difference. And Dr. Pina is just a world of information. She's only giving you a little bit of what we're really going to talk about this week. We're coming up to that time of the program that we have to say, well, we'll see you next week. Same time, same place. Love you all. Bye.